I started playing in the early 60s, 62, 63. I come from a church music background, which is really why Jeff Downs and I work together so well. There's a kind of seamlessness about our songs because we come from the same kind of chordal harmonic background. My brother is a church organist, and so all the music that I had going around in my head for the early part of my life was church music and Bach and so most of the classics, but mainly English church music. And by the time I got to 12, the age of 12, I realized I was never, ever going to be as good as my brother, who is a very accomplished sight reader. That was really didn't appeal to me. The music appealed to me, but not the nuts and bolts of being a church organist. And the guitar came along at the same time. So my first instrument is keyboard piano. But the guitar seemed quite appealing because it's a good prop. You can play it while you're singing and stuff like that. And what I took from church music was the relationship between the melody line and the bass part and how they interact with the chords. So most of my songs, you'll find that the melody line and the bass line will be in counterpoint all the way through the verses until it hits the chorus, when they go into parallel. They work in parallel, and that's pretty much true of nearly every chorus that I've ever written. Heat of the Moment being a perfect example, for instance. But they're all over the place. Easy Money from King Crimson, exactly the same thing. It's the vocal part is a third harmony to the bass part. And that I took directly from my brother's church music. So my influence is, after I picked up the guitar, I mean, I am still, if you ask me who the best bass player of all time is, I would tell you it's Johann Sebastian Bach, because no one has ever come anywhere close to that. No one ever, not in, you know, the history of the world, and probably never will do, come anywhere close to his concept of how a bass part should work. And I know another bass who will tell you exactly the same thing. Another bass player, singer, composer called Jack Bruce, who will tell you exactly the same thing. That is just astounding how he builds his bass parts and into the melodies and chords of what's going on. My biggest influence is probably the Beatles. I can't deny that, can I? Beatles, huge influence. When they came along, I didn't get it completely until I saw them on TV, and then I realized that they were all playing the instruments, and there wasn't one guy standing at the front singing, and the backing group. They were actually playing their instruments, and they wrote the material. I thought, oh, yeah, okay, I get this, big time, all right. And it's good, it's good. It's got melody, harmony, and it's got a bit of R&B in there as well. So, yeah, that's what really sold me, I suppose. But the one that really took it into something I completely understood was the Beach Boys. When Brian Wilson started trying to outdo the Beatles, when I heard God Only Knows in my head under the pillow and a crystal set jammed up against my ear in mono from Radio Luxembourg in, I don't know what it was, 1965 or something, suddenly the world went from black and white to colour. That was it. I thought, oh yes, I like this. Like, anything is possible now. So there we had actually rock music moving into orchestration. I thought that was fantastic. Yes, I thought, yes, I want a bit more of this. And then, of course, at that point, Britain exploded into progressive music, which geographically, in Britain, we were perfectly placed to absorb all the influences from the European, hundreds of years of classical music from Europe, and this new stuff that was coming from America, which was called R&B. We put the two together, bingo, classic progressive rock. And that's what happened at that period, which was 1967 onward, was an explosion that came from this country, and this country alone. Everyone else copied it, but all the big stuff that came out of that time was from the British Isles.
Now, I'd imagine that Asia hasn't been without its ups and downs over the years since the early 80s, supergroup, strains and constraints of playing in a band with potentially large egos. I mean, you left the band in 1991. I mean, was there a particular reason for that?
I tell you what it was. We played a show in Rio de Janeiro. I saw all these sort of heavy metal salutes coming from the audience when we were just trotting out sort of greatest hits package. And we were sort of somewhere, we were construed as a kind of metal band on its last legs. And, you know, just being wheeled out to sort of, it was like a pantomime, being wheeled out to do the hits in these strange outposts, you know. And I thought, no, this is not where it's at all. And at that time, I'd been offered, I was looking for something, desperately looking for a different place to live, and I found it in California. I'd been spending more time in California. There was a lot of musicians doing what I like to do, which is sit around recording and writing and just chucking ideas at each other. And I found it a very sort of healthy, inspirational place to be at that time. I was offered a contract with Virgin Records America to do a solo album, and I just thought, yeah. I came straight back from doing the South American tour with Asia, and I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore, and I wanted to do something different. So I set about recording Battle Lines, and it took 2 years. At the end of the 2 years, I had about 45 songs, I think, of which we chose 10.